The first one, there must be a proper candidate. And what is a proper candidate? We went over this. You're right, Annie. They must, a proper candidate for baptism, you must be saved. If you're not saved, don't get baptized. You get baptized because you are saved, not to be saved. And so a lot of people in their younger life, they get baptized, but they're not really saved. So that baptism is really a void, not a fact, because you don't get baptized till you after you receive Christ as your Savior, then you get baptized. And so the proper candidate for baptism is a person must be saved. Second, baptism must be according to the proper mold. And what is the proper mold according to the Scriptures? Yeah. Remember we took, by the way, in number one, remember in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch said, what must I do to be baptized? What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe on the Acts 8:38, he said, if you believe on Christ, you can be baptized. So number one, you have to be a believer in Christ to get baptized. Number two, you must be by immersion. Anything else is not scriptural. Bible clear. Jesus was baptized by immersion. All through the Scripture, they went down together into the water. John was baptized because there was much water. If you were sprinkling people, you wouldn't need to have much water. Secondly, baptism pictures a death, burial, resurrection. And when someone dies, you don't just throw them out on the top of the ground, throw a couple pieces of dirt on them. No, you bury them. And so, remember, we're buried with him in the likeness, and we're raised in the newness of life. How many see that? And that's what the baptism's all about. Then thirdly, where's Rod Black today? I don't see Roddy. They had another church to go to? Thirdly, the baptism must be administered by the proper authority. And I tried to take a couple of weeks, and I gave you a paper, and I'm going to give you one more scripture. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Remember last week I talked to you about how names are tied to characteristics, like we said a Labrador Retriever. It's called a Labrador Retriever because he retrieves. And by the way, Brother Mark was keenly pointed out afterwards, he said, preacher, and not only that, those names, it usually traces back to their origin, like the Labrador Retriever came from Labrador. Hello? How many's with me? And the Newfoundland came from Newfoundland. And I wonder where a French poodle came from. You're right. So anyways, I agree. So anyways, we tried to show you that names identify you with what you believe and what you stand for. Well, Jesus started a church, and he gave that church the authority, and that church has got distinctives. And I remember now, we focus this big. No church gets you to heaven. No church gets you to heaven. Who gets you to heaven? Only Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. Not the Baptist church, not the Catholic church, not the Lutheran church, not the Methodist, not the Presbyterian, not the Lutheran. You just name any name you want to name. No church ever did get anyone to heaven, and no church ever will get anyone to heaven. But the founder of the church, the one that started the church, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's the way to heaven. He's the doorway. He said in John 10, I'm the door. If any man enter in, he must come by me. And so Jesus is, don't worry about religion. I told those bikers last week, don't worry about religion. Just make Christ your Savior. And proper authority. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. We're talking about who's got the authority to baptize. And when he was come into the temple, are you there with me in Matthew 21? the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he and said, by what authority? By what authority? We're talking about authority now, Brother Mark. By what authority do thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? Hello? God believes in authority. And Jesus answered and said unto them, by the way, the father and mother, the parents of a child, have God's given them authority to watch over their children. You have a great responsibility. And God has different authorities placed in our life. I'm an authority to you. There's all kinds of different authorities. When you go to, when the kids go to school, Brother Mark's teaching at high school, he's an authority to them, the school teachers. Amen? And so, and Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. I love it. Whence was it? I told you in the last few weeks that it was from heaven. I told you that John the Baptist got his name from heaven. I didn't tell you. I showed you in the scriptures. I showed you in scriptures that John the Baptist got his authority from God, got his name from God, had a miracle birth. Not a virgin birth, but he had a miracle birth. His mom and dad were well past age having a child, but God put a seed that made a seed come forth. Are you still with me? Filled with the Holy Ghost before birth? That's something to think about. It's all God. John the Baptist, from whence was it? Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist, who got his name from heaven, who got his authority from heaven. Hello? Are you still with me? Look at verse 25. The baptism of John, Jesus puts this question to him. I'm in verse 25. Whence was it? Was it from heaven or of men? Well, it was from heaven. And they knew it. If they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he was saying this, well, why did you not believe him? Man, we can't say the truth, Brother Phil, because if we do, he's got us. And by the way, that's the way the world is today. It hasn't changed over 2,000 years. Why did they... And from heaven, if he would say, why didn't you have... But if we say of men, we fear the people, for I'll hold John as a prophet. They were in a strait. When you're in a strait, a lot of times it's better not to say nothing. Even though the truth prevails. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Let me tell you, I can tell you. And I did tell you, and I'll tell you again. Jesus, John the Baptist's baptism was from heaven. He was sent by God, given name by God, authority by God, and Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by the right authority. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that only the fundamental Baptist church that Jesus started has authority to baptize. Now that goes against a lot of people's grain. I can't help it. It's what the Bible teaches me. And so not trying to make an enemy, but some look up here. Here's where you got to get this. Some church has to have the authority. I posed this question to you weeks ago when we got into this. Does the church that teaches you can lose your salvation? Do they have? Would Jesus give them authority? No. Would Jesus give an authority to someone who says you got to get baptized to get to heaven? No. Would he say, would he give the authority to a church that you got to speak in tongues to get to heaven? No. If people just come now, let us reason together.
Yeah.
Right. Would he give it to a church that says you got to hold out to the end, work your way to heaven? No. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Would he give it to a church that sprinkles? It's not because you got immersion. Hello? And so Jesus started a church 2,000 years ago. And it's still here today. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Brother Kerry, the church that Jesus started, and it's perpetuated down through the years, over 2,000 years now, that church has authority. And if you'll line up with the scriptures, the Fundamental Baptist Church lines up with what Jesus did. And you say, do you believe Jesus started a Baptist church? I believe it with all my heart. I want to say this to you. And I said this that day. Don't get high-minded. Don't get high-minded just because I say Jesus started a Baptist church. Well, boy, that means we're better than anybody. No. It means we're more fortunate. We get to be in the church that gives us the truth. Amen. Don't be high-minded. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because he's given us, very good, Mark. He's given us truth. So we've got a responsibility, Brother Coolidge, to teach others also. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And the Bible says where much is given, much is required, which Brother Mark was alluding to also. Yeah, don't get high-minded. Well, I'm a big Baptist. No, you ought to thank God you're in a church that's bringing the truth. I get these people get off with a big head. Well, I'm a Baptist, and I'm better than you. No, you're not. You're not better than anybody. By the way, the only thing we are, only thing we are is what Jesus makes of us. The only thing good about us, there's nothing good about us. The only thing good about us is what's good about Jesus. That's the goodness we have. He imputes his righteousness to us. You see. And if there's anything good come out of us, that's because of him. So don't get on a pride kick and don't get a big head and say, my daddy's better than your daddy and everything like that. No, my church, no. Just thank God you're in a fundamental church. God brought you and you get to hear truth. I was very fortunate. Rosie's dad was a deacon of a Fundamental Baptist church, and when I met Rosie, they took me to church. All my life, I've been in a fundamental church. I've been blessed, although I didn't start till I was 20 years old. But at least from the time I was brought to Christ, I've been in a fundamental church. And does that mean that there's no good people in those other churches? No, there's a lot of good people in a lot of different churches. Oh, my. There's a lot of wonderful people. When you teach this, they say, what would you be what would you be, preacher, if you weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. But let me qualify that. But I'm not I'd be ashamed because I wouldn't be in the right church. But I don't have a big head. I thank God that I've got the privilege to be in a church that got truth. I had Baptist preachers that taught me truth. Not all people have had that blessing. Don't be high-minded. Just thank God he started a church and you were fortunate to be in one. You're in the generation that passed down through. By the way, his church is still here just like his Bible's still here. Amen. People want to cast doubt about his church. They want to cast doubt about his Bible. Listen, God started a church and he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He said my words will always abide forever. I'm going to tell you, God's Bible is preserved. Amen. It's perfect. I don't care what anybody says about trying to doubt it. Don't you doubt your Bible. Amen. God wrote a Bible, and it's in the King James Bible. It's pure. Big-time preachers now wanting to put some doubt on preachers about the authenticity of the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you, you mean God's not big enough to keep his record his word and preserve it? Well, in the Greek, let me say this to you, all you Bible scholars. We don't have we don't have the originals. The originals have been gone for a long time. We have copies of the originals. Someone needs to hear this. Yes, sir. No. But he always alluded to them as the originals, didn't he? He always says the scripture, the scripture, the scripture. He always knew, even though he didn't have the originals, he knew he had the pure word of God. Yeah, it is good. Let me give you, hold on here. I didn't have this plan, but I'll throw it in. It's free. Psalms chapter 12. Some of you need to hear this. There's coming a battle. Brother Kerry, there's coming a battle real soon over this King James Bible again. And this time it's not, the liberals have all left. Now it's down to the fundamental Baptists. And there's a battle stirring in this book right now. You can just take this preacher to the bank. We're staying with the old King James Bible. I believe God, not a big enough God to record his Bible, but to preserve it throughout all eternity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Psalms 12, verse 5 and 6. Is that what I want? 6 and 7. Close enough. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. 7 is God's number for perfection. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? From this generation, for how long? Don't you ever let anyone tell you this Bible's not true, Kenny. Because God said it is. Let God be true, every man a liar, the book of Romans teaches. Amen? And so, go back to Matthew. But what I want to say is this. God's got a church. God's one Savior. One church. One Bible. One Savior. Jesus is a Savior. The Baptist Church is the church. The King James Bible is his Bible. You say, boy, you're pretty bold about that. I just know what the Bible teaches. One God. And then within that God, there's 3, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You say, explain the Trinity. I can't. You explain to me how a brown cow eats green grass and gives me white milk. You tell me how there's 3 parts to an egg. There's the shell, there's the white, and there's the yolk. But there's only one egg. Amen? And so, God doesn't say we have to understand everything. He just says we got to believe it, Freddie. We believe things by faith. And faith is something things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist preacher that believes there's a heaven and there's a hell, that God started a church and is still here today, and that God wrote a Bible and is still here today. I believe when Brother Mark and Betty, Miss Betty, sit down and read their Bible together, that they can know when they're reading, God's perfect word. He doesn't have to check the Greek or the Hebrew. I know a little Hebrew and I know a little Greek. The little Hebrew runs a cleaning store and the little Greek got the restaurant down the road. I knew a couple of little Greeks in Toledo that ran a restaurant called Yum Yums, and they had good food down there. Still do. They're not there no more, but they left the recipes. What I want to say to you is this. The world will try to get you to doubt. Don't let the world. You just trust God. Is your name Bob? Mike. Okay, Mike. You just always trust God, Mike. And by the way, even if a preacher says something, don't believe me. You take God over me. Because I can fail you. But God will never fail you. And Robert, God's word, you preacher could mess up. Oh, I mess up all the time. Man, you think I'm perfect? Go talk to Rosie. She'll tell you how bad I am. And then as she gets done telling you how bad I am, I'll tell you a few things about her. Little angel. You can always tell those women are always looking at little angels. They're always up in here harping about something, though, aren't they? Okay, I'm moving on. Don't you tell Rosie I said that. By the way, Rosie does not harp. She just beats me over the head with stuff. No, I'm kidding. kidding. I could not have had a greater wife than Rosemary. Rosie's, I'm telling you right now, I've been blessed by God. Rosie's going to get great rewards because she lived with me and put up with me. You've got a tremendous pastor's wife. I mean that from the depths of my heart. She works from the moment she gets up to the moment she goes to bed. She's faithful and true. She's got wisdom from God. And I'm fortunate to have her. And she's from West Virginia, so that you know she's good. God don't send nothing bad out of West Virginia. Amen. Thanks for that. I want to tell you, Rosemary's the greatest wife a man could have ever had. She's the greatest. She's number one. She's the best. There's no one ever better than her. She's at the top. She's the pinnacle. She's premier, supreme, outstanding, tremendous, stupendous, fabulous, phenomenal. And I love you, honey. Okay, let's move on. Hey, it's good to be alive. Hope I am after church, amen. But seriously, don't let the world take your Bible from you. I'm going to preach this, and I try to put this in my preacher boys. I don't know if I'll make it to the rapture, but I'll tell you one thing. Don't you ever let them, whoever would ever become the next pastor of this church, if they don't believe the King James Bible is a pure word of God. By the way, I'm planning on pastoring this church to the rapture. But if I don't, if the Lord takes me home, got a lot of miles on my engine. If anyone would ever follow me, they must believe that the King James Bible is the pure, inerrant, undisputable, infallible word of God. Amen. And if they're not, get up! Amen. They don't qualify. Amen? Oh, where was I? Go back to the authority now. We're in Matthew chapter 21. Did I get to verse 26? Yeah. Okay, so what I was trying to show you there is that there is an authority. Now let's look at your next page. Is it this page right here, Mark? Page 3? Is that right, Tammy? Where it says Philip's baptism?
Yes.
Okay. Right, yes. Someone say, how many? Yeah, how many say yes? Okay, get this page. I lost my notes on my other one, so I had to make some new ones. Which is great because I found more stuff to tell you. Isn't that good? We can avoid some of the error of contemporary. Boy, churches are going contemporary. Fundamental churches are going contemporary. So what I'm saying is, Brother Coons, we don't want to say the name, but they were supposed to be in a so-called, about a month ago, they were in a so-called fundamental Baptist church, not too far from here, next city, not too far, and they were there for a gospel music singing, and he said, preacher, the music was horrible, was contemporary. And that church goes under independent fundamental Baptist. I like the old-time music, and we're staying with it. Brother Mark's our music director, and he's an old-time guy, and that's why I got him, because he's the old-time guy. We believe in the old paths, which are the good ways. And I don't believe in this contemporary wild music. I want something to stir my heart. I want something to speak to me about the Lord instead of just moving my foot. So we got to avoid the differences between transitional, what people do. Now, look up here. Let me give you this real quick. I wrote this down in your Bible. In the Old Testament, He had Moses' law. In the New Testament, you got grace. In the book of Acts,
oh, this is good. I didn't think about this.
Let's say this is the Old Testament scriptures. And this is the New Testament scriptures, okay? The book of Acts is what they call a transitionary book, or like a bridge. It brings you from the old economy to the new economy. In other words, the book of Acts bridges the Old Testament to the New Testament because it's different now. So you're going to read some things that happened in the Old Testament that are different now in the New Testament. By the way, can I say this to you for the sake of any Marconites here? God always saved by grace.
Amen.
In the Old Testament and the New Testament, people were never saved by works. There's some men that teach, I won't say their name, but their name is Peter Ruckman. And they teach that the Old Testament saints were saved by works. That is false. You ain't kidding. The Old Testament people were saved by grace, just like you and I are saved by grace. They believed looking towards the cross. I know they didn't know about the church age. Listen, until Jesus started the church in Matthew 16, the church age was still in God's mind. Oh, I'm going to show you some stuff. So you're gonna read some stuff sometimes to say, wow, that's a little bit different than what we're understanding. But Philip had a baptism, Acts 8:38. Remember, he said, if thou believest, thou can be saved. Remember that? And then Paul had a baptism, Acts chapter 9. He was killing Christians and going to Damascus. God saved him. Then he sent him to Ananias, a man, and he said, receive thy sight. And then later, right after he got his sight back. By the way, I once was blind, but now I see. Type of salvation. Spiritual application. Then he got baptized afterwards. Then John had a baptism. And I'm going to talk to you about John's baptism. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Wow. Well, I've got some real good stuff on this. I'll teach it to you next week. There's John's baptism. Now wait. I'm gonna teach you some stuff that you don't know next week. I don't think you know. Look at Matthew 28. I know the bell rang. Here's our baptism today. This is what you need to know. Here's the baptism for the church age. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus spake, and he said this to the church. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, Matthew 28, 19. Go ye, that's the church, therefore, and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many see that? That's scriptural baptism. John baptized under repentance. And by the way, Jesus said, and I'll show you next week, there's a lot of stuff. When Jesus came, now don't get mad at me, Jesus came to set up his kingdom. Almost, even Jesus said, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'll tell you some thoughts about that next week. Is there any Jewish people here? Then all the rest of you are Gentiles like me. We ought to thank God. And the book of Romans teaches us that too. Don't be high-minded, you Gentiles. You were grafted in. Jesus came. When he came on this earth, if the Jews would have received him as their Messiah right then, he was going to set his kingdom up right then. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad they didn't, because it gave us Gentiles an opportunity to be saved. And it brought in God's foreknowledge knew it, and the church age. But there are seven dispensations or seven different time periods that God works. They call them dispensations. Dispensation means a period of time. Maybe someday I'll teach those seven dispensations. I think that'd be fun, wouldn't it? When I get through with this, maybe I'll teach those seven dispensations. I don't think I've ever taught those seven dispensations here, have I? I don't think I have. So, but there's dispensations of time. There's a long grace and things like that, but different ones. And so, anyways, in those different dispensations, the Lord works in different ways. But it's always grace, by the way. In any dispensation, it's always grace as far as salvation. Yes, sir. Yes, you're right, Tommy. It's always been grace, Tommy. It's always been grace. Yes, you're right, Tommy. Romans, Genesis 15, 6. Abraham believed on the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Yes, you're right, Tommy. Amen, preacher boy. You got it. Hey, I'm going to tell you, Tommy's a preaching machine. You ought to, at the ABL, he's a preaching machine, man. Okay, let's have a moment of prayer. Brother Mark, would you lead us in prayer?